Hey there, welcome to Following the Truth. My name is Gary Zimek, and I invite you to make yourself at home. Pull up a chair, I saved one here for you. Grab a snack, grab your beverage, and let's settle in and talk about moving from fear to faith. Today is part four of our five-part From Fear to Faith series. And, you know, I hope you're enjoying it. I appreciate your comments about the program, about this series I'm doing on the Following the Truth podcast. If we need to expand it, maybe we'll do that. So, you know, let me know if there's more that needs to be said, or if you're still struggling a little bit and need some additional help. Maybe this takes more than five segments, and I think it might. But for now, hopefully you're getting the idea that Jesus doesn't want us to worry, that it is possible to break free from worry with his help. You know, we're not going to do it on our own. We can only do it with his help. And also, there are going to be storms in life. As we talked about yesterday, the apostles in the storm at sea, they're struggling, they think they're dying, and Jesus is with them. But of course, he's sleeping in the boat like he does so often, on a cushion. I love that part, on a cushion. But he wakes up, he stills the water, he saves the day, and everything is okay. And I think what you and I need to remember is that's exactly what Jesus wants to do in our lives if we trust him, if we invite him in, if we let him help us. Unfortunately, we often panic before we even ask for help, right? Come on. I mean, let me tell you a little story before we get to prayer. I just have to share this with you today. It's a windy day here in southern New Jersey. So sometimes when it's too windy, our water heater pilot blows out and we end up with no hot water. Well, I am, to say that I'm not mechanically inclined is an understatement. I have negative aptitude when it comes to mechanical things, but I've learned how to light the pilot light. And you know, it's funny, this is, my imagination always does a number on me when I have to do this. So I've got this lighter, and I'm underneath and I'm pressing the button and the gas is coming out, right? And I have to like ignite the flame. And, you know, my mind's saying that the whole thing's going to turn into a massive fireball. I know it doesn't work that way. Mechanically, it's not possible. But, you know, my mind goes crazy. So anyway, it's always tough for me to figure out how to do this. I'm like working in the dark, trying to reach under the water heater to light the pilot. I can't see what I'm doing. And fortunately, I have done it in the past. So I knew that technically I'm able to do it, even though I still have no idea what I'm doing. But this time, the first two attempts, I get in there, my wife said there's no hot water, get in there, start doing it, nothing. And then it's like, ah, Gary, come on, what's wrong with you? Say a prayer. So I said a prayer, I got some holy water out, I blessed the hot water heater. I'm not kidding, you know, I really did. And I feel a little foolish that I didn't think of this initially, but sometimes we just get so overwhelmed with our problems that we get right in there and forget to just say, Lord, can you help me? Or say a prayer and ask for some guidance. And this is what he wants us to do. This is the secret to breaking free from worry. Because when we do that, not only do we get some divine assistance, the Lord really can help us with our problems, but also we remember that he's there and that he wants to help us. So I said a prayer, I blessed the water heater, and don't you know, I was able to light it right after that. But it was really good that I remembered to do that. And then I thanked him for helping me out. But I forget more often than not. And I'm getting better at it, but there's still times when I just forget to ask for that help. And if there's one thing that I could impress upon you when it comes to worrying and being overwhelmed by problems, by being in the storm, I just want to impress on you the reminder to ask for help. Ask Jesus to help you. Ask your Heavenly Father to provide what you need. Ask the Holy Spirit to guide your thoughts. It really works when you do that. And also, that's the way that you're going to be able to have a relationship with the Lord, by asking for that help, by getting to know him, by speaking to him. So make it a point to do that. And yes, we still have hot and cold running water here. Praise the Lord. Still is windy, so I might have to do it again. But I'll remember next time to say a prayer. You never want to get so confident that you forget to pray, or you don't think you need to pray. You always need to pray. God gives us gifts. He gives us abilities. But let's always remember to thank him, or to first ask for help, and then thank him when he comes through. So today on the program, we're going to continue this theme of the storm at sea with a little bit of a different twist. The same disciples, once again, are on the Sea of Galilee, only this time there's going to be an additional raising of the bar, and Peter is going to learn something that he never learned before. He's going to learn that it's possible for him to walk on water. So before we get into that, let's turn to our Lord Jesus today and ask him for to help us, to guide my words on this program, to help us all with our problems, and to continue to lead us. You know, we're his disciples. That means he leads, we follow, not the other way around. So let's ask him to continue to lead us and pray for the grace to be open to his leadership. Sound good? We begin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, you are our Lord. You are our Savior. Lord Jesus, we know that you love us with an unconditional, unimaginable love, a love that took you to the cross, caused you to suffer painfully so that the gates of heaven could be opened, so that we could be redeemed. Lord Jesus, the mere fact that you took on a body, that you became human and were willing to experience all of the discomfort involved with humanity is an incredible reminder of how much you care for us. We thank you, Lord, for doing that. We thank you for lowering yourself, for allowing yourself to take on flesh. You did that willingly because that's what needed to be done, out of love for each one of us. So thank you for that, Jesus. Thank you for bringing us to this point in the day. We are alive right now. Thank you, Lord. It's only because of you that we are alive. Lord Jesus, we know that we're special. Each one of us is special to you. We know that you want to be in a relationship with us. We know that you love us, that you want to hear our problems. You want to hear our concerns. You want to share everything with us. If we liked our lunch, if we had a great dessert, we know that you care. So we're going to share that with you. By the way, Jesus, I had a great lunch today. I don't want to digress, but man, it was good. And I had some animal crackers for dessert. And boy, were they good. Thank you, Jesus, for providing those for me. Lord Jesus, we turn to you with our problems today. Obviously, the coronavirus comes to mind. You know how serious this is. You know how much suffering is going on. Lord Jesus, in your power, we know that you can eliminate this coronavirus. You could wipe it out completely. We ask you to do that today, Lord. Please eliminate the coronavirus. We pray for complete and total physical, spiritual, and emotional healing for anyone who is suffering from the effects of COVID-19 right now. We know you can do this, Lord, and we ask you to do it. We also are willing to wait for you, trust your guidance, your judgment. You're the boss. That's why we call you Lord. So we might not understand why this virus has not been completely eliminated. We might not understand why it's here in the first place. But because you're Lord and Savior and Master, we're going to trust you with that, Lord. Jesus, I lift up all of our intentions, anybody listening, myself, anything we're worried about, any concerns that we have. We pray for the grace to one day, or the ability, I should say, to one day be able to return to the sacraments, to Mass, to confession. We pray that baptisms can be performed once again, confirmations, marriages. We know that you do not want this separation, Lord. We know that you want us to be close to you through your sacraments, but you are allowing this for the time being so that you can bring greater good out of it. We understand. We pray that this experience brings us a greater appreciation for your church, for your sacraments, for your presence, especially your real presence in the Eucharist. Jesus, I ask you to send me a fresh outpouring of your Spirit today. I've got the rest of this show to fill up, and I want to deliver your message. I don't want to deliver my own message, and I know that's what you want too. So please give me the words today through your Spirit, and I pray that all of our minds and all of our hearts can be opened up by your Spirit so that we can hear and respond to the message that you have for us. Jesus, I ask for these things in your powerful name, through the intercession of our Blessed Mother Mary and Saint Joseph. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, I want to thank you for praying with me. You know, you might notice sometimes on the program that I change up the prayers. Sometimes I'll talk to the Father in heaven. Sometimes I'll talk to Jesus. Sometimes I'll talk to the Holy Spirit. It really is okay to do that. And sometimes if you're a little particular, whatever it is that I suffer from, sometimes I'm a little obsessive about things like this. Sometimes you think, well, if I talk to the Father, am I leaving Jesus out, or am I leaving the Spirit out? No, you can talk to any of them. Just feel free. Split it up. Talk to everybody. Talk to the angels, the saints. You know, it's really good to really have that kind of a relationship that you do with your family. As Father Mike Gately told me a long time ago, he said, I was asking him, is it okay to, when I talk to the Blessed Mother, am I neglecting Jesus? He said, no. He said, if you have a family, you don't just talk to your mother or your wife and say, well, it's not my day to talk to my dad. No, I mean, to talk to everybody. That's what we want to do in our spiritual relationship with the Lord as well. So keep that in mind. Hey, I really want to stop you for, thank you. I want to thank you for stopping by today, for listening to Following the Truth, for your comments about the program, for your donations to keep me on the air in my full-time ministry. I love doing the show. I'm glad that we're doing it again. If you want to find out more about my work, please visit my website, followingthetruth.com. Also, remember, every day on Facebook, on the Gary Zimak speaker and author page, I have a Stop Worrying and Start Living reflection. It's based on my book from Dynamic Catholic, Stop Worrying and Start Living, but I don't just regurgitate what's in the book. I build on it, and I bring it up to date, and I talk about the coronavirus and, you know, all the associated struggles with the pandemic and the quarantine. So check it out, Gary Zimak, speaker and author on Facebook. It's my Facebook page. I'm maxed out at friends at 5,000 right now. That's why if you send me a friend request, I'm not going to be able to accept it. Facebook won't let me do that. So follow my page, Gary Zimak, speaker and author, and you and I can interact there. Gary Zimak, speaker and author on Facebook, okay? And that's every day I've been putting out a daily reflection. At some point in time, I'm probably going to start up a newsletter again or maybe do a daily email thing. But right now, that's I've got so many things going on, and I'm a little too busy to do that, but it's something I'm considering in the near future. I want to stay in contact with you. I want to walk together with you. That's what the slogan of this program is. Let's walk together, and I mean that. Let's walk together on the road with Jesus, kind of like the disciples on the road to Emmaus. One's named Cleopas, the other is unnamed. Well, we can be that unnamed disciple, and we are with Jesus walking. Or you can be the unnamed disciple. Oh, you can call me Cleopas if you want. You can call me anything you want. Just be nice. And we can walk together and move toward Jesus. But let's move on this journey from fear to faith. When we talk about, once again, the disciples are on the Sea of Galilee, and they're going to run into a storm. But this has a little bit of a twist to it. This time we're going to look at Matthew chapter 14, beginning in verse 22. It's Matthew 14, 22. This occurs just after Jesus fed 5,000 people. Imagine that, 5,000 men, really, 5,000 men plus women and children. So the estimate is 10, 12,000 people on 5 loaves and 2 fish. I mean, that's how amazing Jesus is, right? He's unbelievable. So right after that, verse 22, Matthew 14, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. Now, I kind of chuckle as I read that. He made them get in the boat. You know, like this is after they had this experience of the previous storm at sea. They're thinking they're drowning. The boat is about to capsize. They're freaking out. You know, maybe they don't want to go through this again. I don't know. The translation I'm using says he made them get in the boat. How did he force them? Did he say, you get in that boat or else? I don't know the details, but he made them get in the boat. The point is they did it, only this time he wasn't in the boat with them. I don't know, maybe they thought that's a good thing because he's only going to be sleeping in the back anyway. I don't know. But he said, go on, cross the Sea of Galilee. This is not an unfamiliar route to them. They're fishermen. You know, the majority of them are fishermen. They know where they're going. They get in the boat without Jesus to go to the other side. After Jesus dismissed the crowd, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Now, You know, many of us, we will sometimes say that we're too busy to pray. We don't have time to pray. I want you to look at the example of Jesus right here. He made the effort. He had just preached all day. You remember, it was late in the day. The people were hungry. He fed 5,000 men, plus women and children. Again, a lot of people. He had to be exhausted. But yet he made time. And he chose a place, a secluded place, by himself to go pray up on the mountainside. Please, whatever you do, make time every day for prayer. Go to your prayer corner, go outside, go to your car, wherever you have to go, some quiet place. I have my favorite chair with all of my spiritual reading every day. I spend time with the Lord every morning. Sometimes I have to force myself to get out of bed, but it is worth it. Look at it this way. If Jesus Christ found the time to pray and he thought it necessary to pray, don't you think it's important for you to do as well? It is very important. So later that night, Jesus was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Now, here we go again. The disciples, or really the apostles. It was the apostles yesterday. It's the apostles today. In the Gospels, for the most part, they are referred to as disciples because they are that. They are followers of Jesus, but they're also part of the inner circle. They're part of the 12 leaders of the early church. That's who the apostles were. So there in the boat, a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. So they're rowing against the storm. You ever feel like that? You ever feel that the wind and the waves and the storm is getting the better of you? It happens all the time, right? For many of us right now, we're going through that with the coronavirus. We're feeling it right now. We're feeling the pain. We're feeling the struggles, the difficulty of isolation, of fear. So in a lot of ways, we are in a similar position. Now, shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. Shortly before dawn, in some Bible translations, it says it's written in the third watch of the night. This translates to between 3 and 6 a.m. For those of you who, like me, tend to be anxious, for my worrier friends, 3 o'clock in the morning, does that sound familiar? 4 o'clock in the morning, you know that time you wake up and your mind begins to spin out of control? So you can relate. I mean, this is the situation that many of us find ourselves in. Shortly before the dawn, there's a saying, it's always darkest before the dawn. So look at this as being the darkest point of the day. Darkest point in your life? What do you think? Right now? Pretty close? You may have been through other things, but right now for so many people, this is a very dark time. This is a very, very challenging time. Things are looking pretty bleak. But this is when the Lord often shows up. This is when he often shows up because he is about to perform a miracle. And that's what's going to happen. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, so he's walking on the Sea of Galilee to them, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and they cried out in fear. Now, these guys were so terrified that they didn't even recognize Jesus. You ever get that way? You get so terrified by the problems of life that you don't recognize Jesus. How about like every day, right? It happens to us all the time. We panic. We forget to notice that Jesus is with us because we're not seeing him with our eyes. So this is us, really. But Jesus immediately said to them, and I love delivering this line. These are the words of Jesus. A lot of times I'll deliver a message from the Lord that I know is going to be a little painful, that you might not really want to hear. But today's, I am very comfortable delivering. This message is to you, as you're in the darkness, as things appear to be hopeless, as your world is turned upside down, you might be spinning out of control right now, the words of Jesus, Matthew 14:27. Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid. Isn't that great? Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid. Now, he didn't even say anything else. He didn't say, I'm going to take your problems away. He didn't say, I'm going to calm the storm. He just said, I'm here. I'm with you. Don't be afraid. And again, let's look at those words, don't be afraid. similar to what he said about worry in the Sermon on the Mount, do not worry. If Jesus is saying, do not be afraid, don't be afraid, have no fear, it must be possible. And I'm going to tell you right now, it is possible. It's a process. It involves walking one day of the time with Jesus, learning to trust him more, stepping out in faith, but it is possible to have no fear. But don't expect it to happen all at once. I am less afraid now when problems arise than I was 5 years ago. Am I perfect? No. I still panic, but I panic less than I used to. Take it one day at a time. Walk with the Lord one day at a time, and you're going to see a change. So Peter's response to Jesus saying, it's I, don't be afraid, is this. Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Now, what Peter's doing here is he's being careful. Remember, Peter is a seasoned fisherman. He knows that technically it is not possible for a man to walk on water, which is true. But remember, with God, what? All things are possible. Peter is focusing on Jesus. He's seeing Jesus doing it. Since Peter is a disciple, a follower of Jesus, he wants to do what Jesus is doing. He wants the thrill of walking on water, but he also wants to be careful, which is really not like Peter, because one thing about Peter, he's pretty impulsive. He does a lot of things without thinking about it. But this time he's saying, if it's you, Lord, tell me to come to you on the water. Now, this is called discernment. That's a good thing. If you know, a lot of times in our lives, we feel that God is asking us to do something, to take a new job, to maybe have another child, maybe to give more to charity, maybe to volunteer at church, maybe to reach out to a distant relative, somebody we've become separated from, any number of things, to share the gospel on Facebook, whatever. And it's a little scary. We have that fear. And before we do anything, especially if he's asking us to do something big like switch jobs, like quit our job or something, we want to discern. We want to pray about it. We want to talk to trusted spiritual advisors. We want to pray. We want to read scripture. We want to be careful. And that's what Peter did. But Jesus responded by saying, come. Like, yeah, it's me. Come on out. Now, Peter had to make a decision. And I think a lot of times we do the same thing. Oh, Lord, if you need me to do this, I'd be happy to do it. And then he says, okay. And what do we do? We say, well, wait a minute. Let me think this over. But Peter did. Peter got down out of the boat and he walked on the water and came toward Jesus. Do you see that? There is a miracle that just took place in Matthew 14, 29. Peter got down out of the boat and he walked on the water. Technically, that's not possible. So I want you to keep things like this in mind. When you have a COVID-19 staring you in the face, when you have unemployment at your doorstep, when you've gotten a bad medical diagnosis, when you're lonely and have no way of getting out of your loneliness, you got to remember this. With God, all things are possible. Peter walked on the water. Why? Because he was moving toward Jesus. Where was Jesus? Jesus was out in the storm. Jesus wasn't in the boat. You know, sometimes he leads us into the storm. Once again, we see that happening here. We see that happening in our own lives right now as well. We are in a storm right now. But don't think for a minute that Jesus is not there. Now, Peter did what many of us do. When he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried out, Lord, save me. Now, Peter did two things there. One of them was good. One of them was not so good. What he did that was not good was he took his eyes off of Jesus. He focused more on Jesus, on the storm, than he did on Jesus. If you spend all of your day watching the news and listening and putting all your faith in the people who are predicting how much longer this is going to last or what's going to happen in the future, you are going to freak out and lose your peace. You just are. It's not a good use of your time. Be prepared, be informed, but then move on. Spend a little time reading the Bible. Spend a little time in prayer because you're going to see that if you keep your eye on Jesus, if you walk with Jesus, if you put your faith in him, not only is your faith in a good place and you're spending your time well, but your peace will increase. Peter took his eyes off Jesus and he began to sink. as many of us do when we take our eyes off Jesus, when we forget to ask for his help, as I did with the water heater. But what happened to Peter? What did Peter do right? He turned to the Lord and said, Lord, save me. Lord, save me. That's what we need to do. We need to turn to Jesus and ask for his help. He's not going to force us to accept his help. He's not going to burst into our house and take care of our problems. He might put us in the storm. We might not have a choice about that. But he waits for us to ask for his help. Make sure you do that. What happened then? Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and he caught him. And then he said, you of little faith, why did you doubt? That's another message for each one of us. But I think the more important message is that when you cry out to Jesus, when you say, Lord, save me, that's a prayer he's going to answer. He did that immediately. And the reason Jesus was able to reach Peter so quickly was because Jesus and Peter were very close to each other, because Peter walked out in the middle of the storm to be with Jesus. If you stay with Jesus, he's always going to be ready to reach out, grab you by the hand, and save you. But you got to be close to him, okay? And then he said, why did you doubt? And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. Well, yeah, I guess so. That's going to impress them. But you know what? None of them who didn't get out of the boat ever got the thrill of what it would be like to walk on water and know without a doubt that Jesus would be able to save them. The other thing to keep in mind is that who knows how long Jesus and Peter remained out in the middle of the storm. We're told that the storm didn't die down until they got back into the boat. We assume that it happened very quickly after the initial incident. We have no idea. It could have been 30 minutes. It could have been an hour that Peter was out on the storm with Jesus, out in the storm on the waves with Jesus. Don't panic because you're in the storm right now. Remember that Jesus is with you, right? And then turn to him for help every day. Make time to pray, ask for help. Not only will you get the help, but you're going to feel that peace you're looking for. All right, I got to run. I am out of time. Hey, thanks for hanging out with me today. I really appreciate it. God willing, I'll be back here on Following the Truth tomorrow. Please tune in if you can. If you're able to send a donation my way, please go to followingthetruth.com and do so I can keep this show on the air. Make this a good day. God bless you, and we'll see you next time on Following the Truth.